The Chinese says they have a story that they talk about, and I heard it when I was very little. It was about a monkey. I think monkeys are kind of not good creatures for Chinese. So if you're born in the year of the monkey, sorry. And it was about a trapper, a hunter, who wanted to trap monkeys, and this is what they would do. They would get this big jar, probably made out of metal or wood or whatever, and it would be one of those jars with a neck, you know? And inside, they'll put a lot of peanuts in there. And supposedly, the monkeys will come, and they see the peanuts, and they want to eat it and smell it, so they stick their hand in there to grab it. They grab a big bunch. But because the monkeys are so greedy, you know, it's a greedy creature, they won't let go, you know? It's just like this, and it can't come out. If you only take one at a time, you can get it. But because of that, and so the hunter will come and catch the monkey. That's how they would tell the story to teach children not to be greedy. Don't be greedy like a monkey. Now, greed is a topic that us pastors, we have to tread very lightly, you know? Because we can just talk about this big, you know, terrible greed thing and try not to bring it into real life. But if we do, we may step on a lot of toes. So I hope that your toes will not be terribly stepped on, but if they are, perhaps the Lord can speak to your heart about it. Greed is it's one of those things that the Bible talks about in so many places. The last of the commandments said, don't covet your neighbors, this, right? Don't be greedy for someone else's stuff. You go to Proverbs, it talks about six things that the Lord abhors, seven, you know, talks about all these things, including greed. And you go on to the New Testament, it goes into Ephesians, it talks about all these things that are horrible. Those who practice them won't enter the kingdom of God, and greed is one of them. And then, of course, you go to Revelation, it talks the same, about the same. In fact, some people, I forgot his name now, some philosopher in 400 AD, you know, penned the seven deadly sins. Many movies have been put into, action based upon that philosophy. But greed is one of those things. It has done terrible things to people. And it is a giant in the lives of mankind, even with Christians. Because of greed, empire building happened. Really, Genghis, do you really need Europe and the Middle East? You already got all of Asia. Really, Alexander, do you really need to go to India and capture that too? You already have so many countries you conquer. And please, Napoleon, do you have to have Moscow? You see, greed. Of course they had to have it. It's in their heart. They had to have it. You remember the story in the Old Testament, right? You remember this guy named Ahab, king. He had all this stuff, but he wanted this vineyard. There's this vineyard that's so nice. The guy's name is Naboth. He had to have it. He had it in his mind. He wanted it so bad. He was going to buy and take it. But you know, the owner said, I don't want to get, this is part of my inheritance. It is part of my family's, you know, thing. I don't need your money. I want to keep it. Got so mad. Went back home, told his wife, Jezebel. Jezebel, who are you anyway? Are you not the king of Israel? You're entitled to this. You're supposed to have anything you want. Go and take that vineyard. And he did. He went there and killed a guy and took it. That's what greed does. You say, well, we don't do those kind of things. Really? How many terrible stories can we find? All you have to do nowadays, you don't even have to turn books, you know. You Google it, greed, and stories galore come out. Horrific stories, not just from mighty people, not just from rich people, not just from people that are just, you know, heinous, simple people. Greed. That's why, you know, the scripture says in this passage we read, greed, the love of money, wanting more of it, it's the root of all kinds of. All kinds of horrific things have happened because of greed. And you know, the sad thing about it is, it's in the Christian community. It's in the church. So today I want to briefly, if you can talk about greed briefly, I want to talk about three things that we as God's people, well, we want to say, and we say often. The first, we say, I need more. I need more. I just need more. You know, this is just not enough. I just need more. I read in Daily Bread, it's one passage. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it's in there. It said, greed whispers in our ear that we would be happier if we had more money, more things, and more power. It creates discontent and a growing desire to do whatever it takes to gain position and possessions. We just have to get more. You know, we're safer if we have more. We're better if we have more. We're just, you know, much more fulfilled if we have more. So we just do that. We just naturally do it, you know. Having enough is never, well, enough. You have to have more. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. You think about some of the richest people in the world. I read this story, and you guys may remember, those of you that are older, remember this guy named, I think his name is Michael Milken, right? This junk bond king, long time ago, who got indicted and on, all kinds of stuff. He had an asset in his life of $550 million. Now, I can't imagine what that means. I know we talk about billionaires these days and on, but $550 million, is that not enough for anything and everything? But yet he had to do more. He had to get more. And he did so, and he did it in a way that was not legal, that was not ethical. It hurt people all over the place, but he needed more. He just needed more. You know, I follow sports personalities quite a bit. I tell you, once upon a time, it was fun watching basketball, still fun watching football, and on. But you know, one of the big things that happen is these contracts that come out. Are you crazy? $200 to $300 million contract? What does that do with an athlete? What does that do with people? You know, people that come out of maybe even ghetto situation, very poverty-stricken lives, and suddenly they're given this contract, a $10 million contract. I mean, what do you think happens to them? I just need more. I want to tell you, if you have those ideas in your mind, in your heart, it is going to take you to places where you don't want to be. One of the big principles of Christian living is contentment. It's very easy to find people that are content. Pretty happy people. You know, you're content with your life. It has nothing to do with what you have at all. You know, as long as I have clothes and food to eat, I'm content. Oh, wow, that's it? How about other things? How about a cable television? How about a great big computer? How about a nice new car? You know, those things. We as Americans, we think that's what we're supposed to have. And that's probably one of the things that, one of the reasons why I encourage you, and I encourage anyone and everyone, to take a mission trip once in a while. If not annually, take it. Go somewhere. You know, don't go to necessarily the Riviera, to Cancun, places like that where you see nothing but wealth. Go to places where it's poverty stricken. Go to places where you see people walking around and they don't have much. I remember the first time I went to the Philippines, I couldn't believe what I saw. I thought I saw a lot of poverty. I lived in the Lower East Side. I lived in Manhattan. I've been in the ghetto housings, you know, the projects and all. Been a part of that in my, you know, growing up years. But man, I saw things I couldn't believe. I saw this one place, one stretch, probably 5 miles, it was just driving. And it was just cardboard boxes. That was their housing. That's where people are living. And a friend of mine actually ministered in a place where there was a big, gigantic garbage dump. There were thousands of people living in the garbage dump, and they got their living from the garbage that was being thrown. Garbage being thrown from some of the poorer people in the world. You see those kind of things, you begin to think differently about yourself. And I think it's a good experience to understand what enough is. Because you live in America, you walk in America, you make your money in America, you just think that these are normal things, and you just feel entitled
to living that way. And you feel like you're on the bottom rung of things and you just want some more. I just need more. Do we? The second thing that we say a lot is, I have to keep what I have. Now, there's a lot of reasons for people to think this way. I'm going to share with you my mom. We were refugees, some of you know that. I shared with you before, from China to Hong Kong. And I was born in Hong Kong, but my family, they were rich in China. Communists came, they went to Hong Kong, they were dirt poor, they were refugees. And you know, you don't have anything at all. In fact, we lived in a little, when we were doing well, I remember it, we lived in a little house. It seemed big to me, but I'm sure it was a little shed, you know, not very big. We didn't even have glass windows, it was just shutters. Had no running water at all. We had a latrine for, you know, bathroom, on and on. That's what it is. When you're a little kid, you don't know any better. That's just normal. So my mom, who worked so hard to keep us alive, who not only took care of 7 children, but also worked for someone else as a nanny, I'll tell you something. She never threw anything out. Never. And in fact, if you know a lot of people from Hong Kong, if maybe your own family's like that, sometimes Chinese people, when you go to their home, they're a little cluttered. They're rat packs, in fact. They don't throw anything out. Now, back in Hong Kong, in those days, you don't have anything to throw out, so it doesn't matter. We come to America, you begin to gather things. It's like, why throw that paper bag away? We can use it for something later. Why throw those clothes away? Because someday it's going to come back into style and I can fit it again. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, fit it again, right? We think that way. You just don't throw anything. I have to confess, though, I wasn't much of a purchaser. I don't buy things. But I kept things. And one of the big benefits when we came from New York to Houston was that, you know, we cleared out our attic. I remember clearing the attic out. Just throwing most of it, almost everything out. I found this computer, you know? It was my first computer. 4.77 megahertz. It cost me $800, you know? When better computers came, I said, I can't throw that away. It cost me $800. I put it in the attic. It's going to happen, you know, someday I'm going to need it again. I had about 3 printers, too. You know the dot matrix printers? They were all there. I thought, no, I don't want to get rid of this. So finally I put it out in the street, you know, in the garbage, and guess what? Nobody took it. How come nobody stole this thing? I thought someone would surely take it. They didn't take it. In fact, I got a $125 fine for putting it out in the garbage. The garbage man didn't want to take it. But you know what? Whatever reasons it is, we have this innate thing inside of us that I want to keep what I have. I just want to keep it. We hoard things. And you say, I don't do that. Really, I want you to search your heart a little bit. We just want to keep what we have, you know? And maybe it isn't those kind of stuff. Maybe it isn't stuff that we don't need anymore and dated stuff. Maybe it's just pure money. We just want to keep it. You know, we have this level, you know? We're trained. We want to be, you know, like you go to these financial stuff, and they say, you know, you got to keep this amount. At least save 10%, we're told, right? Well, what is enough? What is enough? What is it? Is it 100,000? Is it 200,000? Is it 500,000? Is it 25,000? Is it 2,000? What is it? What is it that's enough? I have to keep what I have. I'll tell you what, if it relates to money and possessions and stuff, it becomes something you love. You just feel secure in it. You know, when we think about countries, you know, warring countries, and what happens with people fleeing those countries? You know, people take all the possession that they gather and they gotta put it in a boat, they gotta put it in a car, they gotta put it in a horse, you know, and they try to take it. And that's the stuff they've been keeping all their lives. And now suddenly they become worthless because they can't take it with them. Or at least not successfully. I'll tell you what. If you have that as a problem in your life, I have to keep what I have. There's only one thing you can do. We can talk about it. We can go into seminars. We can have training. We can use scriptures. You know, you can have books. You can have DVDs. You have every Christian financial guy, that's going to talk to you about how to be a, you know, good finance person. Don't let greed take your heart. This is just one thing you must do if you want to tackle that. And this is it right here. The best remedy for greed is generosity. You have to give it away. And that is a must. If you have greed in your life, and I want to talk to you a little bit about how to see whether you do or not later, you have to give it away. There's nothing that's going to beat you taking out your bank, taking it out of your pocket, taking it out of something, and just say, here it is, I'm just going to give it away. If not, that insidious poison, the sin, that powerful, powerful weapon of the enemy, it's going to get a hold of you and keep you and hold you down. And do remember this phrase, you know, those who get the most toys, when they die, they still die. You don't get to keep the toys, no matter what. I think one of the great things of the early church really is dealing with greed. You know, when we look at Acts chapter 2 and the end of it, and all these things were happening, all these people were coming to know Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel message is the key thing, of course, but the things they did in their lives is unbelievable. They did that which the world would never do. And somehow, since then, you know, the churches have morphed. They've taken in the world's ideas about things, including the issue of greed. You know what? We have turned this vice, this sin of greed, we turn it into a virtue almost. We don't call it a bad thing. We just repackaged it and we call it something else. But you know what they did in this first century church? They kept giving things away. You remember the story of Barnabas. We don't really remember him, usually. We remember the other two people, Ananias and Sapphira, who was jealous about Barnabas. Barnabas went and he took a piece of land that he had. He sold it and gave it to the church. And the church gave it to people in need. And he was not only the only one. They were doing it all over the place. Christians were giving away the stuff. And so greed, the power of sin, was not in that church. It was not in those lives. They were set free because they gave it away. You cannot be greedy when you give things away. Greedy people don't do that. And when you do that, you make a difference in this world. You know, our Christians, you know, how we give, you know, we give our tithe. And then a lot of times, you know, we have these motivations, and nothing wrong with it. We say, you know, you can get a tax write-off on it and on and on. You know what? Those people in the first century church, they didn't get a tax write-off on anything. And if you go around the world, there are a lot of places, you know, when Christians give up things, they don't get any benefits from it. It is about giving it away and not having greed locked our hearts up. And it's amazing how God ministers to us. He makes promises on that. You know, at the end here, when I was reading and studying this scripture, it's amazing to me. It says, Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich. He's not even saying, you know, suggest it to them. So he's telling Pastor Timothy to command his people. Dare I do that to you right now? I thought about that. I thought, I'm not sure I want to do that. But that's what the scripture says. That if you're rich in this present world, and I want to tell you, as Americans, I don't care even if you feel like you're really poor. We're pretty rich in this world. It says, do not be arrogant. And don't put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God. That is a command that we got from the Lord. Put our hope in Him. Do not put it in the statements that you get every month from your 501, from your bank account. I was talking to somebody, and this person was really rich, you know. And the person just doesn't really want to part with much of it. And you know, my statement and her statement, it's only a difference of zeros, that's all. She's got a lot more zeros than mine. But it's just a statement that we both get. Because she left it in some investment, some bank, and stuff like that. That's all it is. You know, Chinese people, my parents did that too. They're Chinese. They're really prone to get these safety deposit boxes, you know? You know, in the end of their lives, my parents, my sister and I really work with them about what they're going to do with the millions, and they were millionaires. And they had these five safety deposit boxes. Full. See, Chinese people love to just put money away, not in there, you know, hide it from the government, you know, whatever it is. Whatever the reason it is. And I told my mom this. I said, Mom, what you got in there is no better than newspapers. That's all they are. It's just paper. Unless you take it out and use it for God's glory, they're nothing but newspaper. You can put pure newspaper in there. It'll be the same thing as all these dollar bills, you know. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever because that's what we do. I want to keep it. And praise God. Good choices. And that's why we have a foundation. My family's foundation that's ministering every month to so many people. It says here also, command them. You know, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous. The best remedy for greed is to give it away. Now, I'm not here to give you a pattern on what you need to do. But Barbara and I, because we follow this pattern, because we follow this principle, I can tell you, it works. It changes who you are. It frees you from fear of not having enough. It changes your dissatisfaction with whatever you have, be it your house, your furniture, your car, whatever it is. You don't have, you know, I don't like my car. I don't want, you know, it's not like that. You are comfortable with what God has given to you. It takes that bondage away. It takes that grip of the enemy away. Satan cannot ever frighten you with how you could lose your job, or you know, you're not just not going to have enough, or your children's not going to have enough. You won't have that when you deal with greed by being generous. The last thing that we think about, and I want to talk about this a little bit, am I being a good steward? See, we as Christians, we know how to change a vice into something that is good. We just know how. You know, some people have said, I'm so angry. Why are you so angry? God said, don't be angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm just righteously indignant, you know? Yeah. Why are you so scared about the... Well, I want to be a good steward. God said to be a good steward. How can I be a good steward if I just give these things away? I can't do that. See, we change sin into something that's palatable. And whatever it is that's plaguing us, we want to turn that into something else. You know, we talked about unforgiveness, you know, a couple of weeks back. Sometimes that's what we do, you know. I'm going to forgive, but I'm not forgetting. You know, we just transform something sinful in our lives, and then we make it into something good. Well, it's not. I hate using phrases that people use, especially politicians. You can put a lipstick on a peg, you know, that kind of old phrase. It's still a peg. Sin is sin is sin is sin. Greed is one of the most powerful sins. And unless we deal with it, not just change it and call it something else, it is going to destroy us, as the Word of God says. It is the root of all kinds of evil. It can cause you to do things, feel things, live things that you never want to, and God doesn't want you to. So being a good steward, what does that mean, being a good steward? I remember talking to a family we met in Crimea a long time ago when we went there. And he was a colonel in the Russian army. A week before he was going to retire and receive a full pension, they released him. So what happened? I said, what happens in the Russian army? I didn't get a pension a week before.
He said, that's so horrible. That's horrible, right?
You know how many times we do these kind of things as Christians? Don't think I'm saying anything about church. I'm not. But how many times we hire people part-time just before, you know, the hours would make it full-time so we don't have to cover all the benefits. A lot of churches do that. And their words, we don't have the money to pay it, you know? We can't afford it. We got to be good stewards of it. Or, you know, there are things, contractors will come, and certain things that we want to do, and we negotiate. And sometimes we ask people, oh, you know, we're a Christian church, you know, can you give us a deal? Just being good stewards. I remember when we were building our building in New York, and by God's grace, you know, it was a $5 million building. Eventually, somehow, whatever, I got it to go to about $2 million. And then they did some things. There were shortcuts they did. I caught them. And I was kind of the contractor, basically, for our church. So I sat in this office of this man who's not a Christian. I began to talk to him. Began to negotiate how he's going to fix that thing he did. $150,000 later, short, you know, he was willing to give that to us. And I knew I can get $50,000 more. I knew. I sat there and I stopped. I just came before the Lord. I said, what am I doing? I could get that, but I shouldn't do that. And the Lord said, you shouldn't do that. So we finished at $150,000 for fixing what he did. That was really bad. We got together, shook hands. To this day, we still can be friends if I met him again. You know, didn't destroy his company. Didn't rip him off just because I can. For the sake of the church, I didn't make a nickel of it. We have to be careful about these things. Our God is the God of the universe. He owns the cattle on a thousand. You know, he has everything that we need. We don't need to help him to make money. We don't need to help him to save money. We just have to follow biblical principles of right and wrong and not take advantage of people for the sake of, oh, we have to be good stewards. I think that is one of the biggest problems we have in America as American Christians. We can't give it to this group. We can't give it to that group. We can't minister here. You know, we go by and I get it. You know, you see these beggars on the street. You know, you're not going to give them the money. But we get to a place where we are so hardened to the needs of this world because we're good stewards. Shame on us. Shame on us. But the scripture is so clear about what God would do. And I want to read this verse to you again as I end. In this way, they, that's you and me, and our churches, and the people we minister, we will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want to tell you and ask you, actually, to consider this issue. You say, I have no greed, Pastor. No problem. Praise God if that's the truth. But greed is really insidious. Go before the Lord and ask him about it. You know, show me my greed. I've done that recently. There's things in my life that I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure I like that. Show me my greed. And then, Lord, help me. Help me to discover how to never let that grip my heart. And then do it. You'll be amazed at what God would do in your life. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you that there is no giant in our life that cannot be faced, cannot be defeated by your grace. I want to pray for this issue. Lord God, would you help us deal with greed? so that it may never, never be apart from us.